the importance of relationships in our lives, and because I really believe they just carry such a key role in our future and our destiny. I called a couple of the boys yesterday. I didn't get a hold of Garrett, and I said, tell me the people in your life that you met when you were young, that mom and dad, we exposed you to, that really changed, had an input into your life. And Ben was telling me some different ones in his life. A couple of them, when I took him to the first pastor school in Phoenix, and Tommy Barnett, just that time changed his life. When I'd invited Van Crouch to come when we were at the Y, and that week, his future wife walked into the church with her family to visit. If it wasn't for that moment, that day, I wouldn't have my daughter-in-law and my three incredible, beautiful, fantastic, just the best, the most wonderful grandchildren that the face of the earth has ever seen. Just one moment, just one day. I asked Ryan, I said, Ryan, tell me some. He named a couple, and he said, probably Pastor Ron Domina. He said, if it wasn't for Pastor Ron, I don't know where I'd be here today. And I thought, that is just really incredible, because the people you allow into your life have such a profound influence on who you are and what you become. Are you listening to me today? And we're just going to look at that just for a few minutes today. Before we do, we receive a missions offering every month. And last month, I had a couple of people, and it's probably a great idea. They said, I wish you would let us know ahead of time. So I'm letting you know. I'm going to try to shoot for the last Sunday of every month. So next Sunday, just come prepared. Believe, ask the Lord what He would have you to do. Every month, we target a mission opportunity. And this month, I believe that the Lord would have us sow into the CUFI, Christians United for Israel, which is going to come up in Rochester next month. And I just want everybody to be a part of that. So next week, after the service, at the end of the service, we'll receive a missions offering for that. This Thursday night, I want to encourage you, Hector Santos will be here. It'll be an incredible night together. He's always a great blessing when he comes. And also, kind of some sad news, that an old friend of ours that had come to church here for years and was such a blessing to us, Buck Betters, went home to be with the Lord on Friday. He was 94 years young. I'd say that's pretty good life. And he was just a blessing to the church, to me personally. He had, one year, he always wanted to take me to the presidential prayer breakfast. He said, we're going to do it. We're going to get into it, because not anybody can just go. And I'll never forget him calling me up. He says, Marty, we did it. He said, we're going. I said, well, where are we going? He says, you and I are going to Washington to the president's prayer breakfast. I go, really? How'd you work that out? He said, don't worry about it. You're going. Bought the ticket, paid for the room, paid for the whole trip. And I'll never forget, that's a few years ago, but he was probably in his mid-80s then. He'd want to sit up talking late at night. We'd be in the lobby. We'd talk till midnight, 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. And then he'd say, well, I guess we better get going. He said, I'll see you at 6:45 in the morning. And I'll never forget, I'm walking down the hall, and there his room is open. The door would fly open. He's standing there with suit and tie on. Good morning. Let's go and have a great day. He made a great influence. His services are going to be at the end of the week. You can check out the newspaper. But I just wanted to bring honor to him. He was a blessing to us in many ways. I want to talk to you this morning again how this one day can change your life. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your life. Thank you for the purpose that you have for everyone. May you be honored. May you be glorified in all that we do today. I ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. If you have your Bible, open it up to one. I'm going to look at a couple verses, but this is the one I'm going to start with, Ecclesiastes 4:8. And how about that Garrett and Natalie singing this morning? Oh, my goodness. I think we should have that a little more often. What do you all think of that? Nothing like putting them on the spot, is it? I like that. We're at the beginning of a new year, and it's hard to believe that February is going to be over in just a little over a week. But if we make the decisions in our lives that will bring the right people into our lives, let the wrong ones go, I believe they'll have such a profound influence on who we are and what we become that at the end of 2014, we'll be able to turn around and we won't say, oh, I'm so glad that that year's over, but we'll be able to stand and say, God, look what you have done. Thank you for your blessing on my life. Thank you that this year has been incredible, and the year to come, I know, is even going to be better. And I said this a few weeks ago, that I have decided that I will not let anything that really means nothing keep me from experiencing everything. I love that. And a lot of times we bring things and have relationships into our lives that are a hindrance to us and have a negative influence on us and on our family. Moms and dads, this is very important to you. You know, I was contemplating this last night and this morning, and sometimes as parents, there comes a place in your life where you need to begin to listen even to your children when they talk to you about people and relationships in your life. You know, growing up with my boys, they're all three very outspoken. Praise the Lord. They get that from their mom. And anyways, I mean, there's been many times over our lives when they got a little older, and even when they weren't that old, and we'd have people come around us, and afterwards the boys would I don't know if they got together and talked or something, and they'd sometimes come one by one. Dad, be careful about that person. Dad, watch that. And you know, I have to say that 99.9% of the time there was validity in their concern. And so, parents, I want to encourage you that sometimes out of the mouth of your children will come forth things that they'll encourage you in one way or another. And it's important as parents for us to expose our children to great people and for us to be exposed to great people, to take them and to do things with them that will bring increase and stress their lives and put them in positions that will have great influence in their life in the future. I remember, you know, when the boys were younger and we had cattle on the farm. At one time, we had 60 plus Holstein heifers that we were raising. Actually, Ryan did the bulk of it, and he loved being out there with the animals. The other boys, not so much. They were okay at it. Garrett, not at all. I don't know. I can't understand. He never liked the smell of manure. I just don't get that. It's McDonald's. Something a little different with him anyways. But anyways, that's another message. I remember Ryan, I don't know, he might have been 14, 15. He was taking care of all these animals. And on one Saturday, I had to work at the time. And there was an auction coming. And I said, Ryan, you need to go and buy this piece of equipment. And he said, okay, how do I do it? What do I do? And I'd been to hundreds of auctions. And I just didn't even think about that, him being a young age, that maybe it'd be a little frightful for him. Auctions can sometimes be intimidating. A lot of people around, a lot of energy, I mean. And here I'm sending my little boy into that. Well, I threw him into that arena. And found out later, he got the piece of equipment, but a friend of mine kind of came alongside of him, encouraged him, and helped him. But in that, it stretched him. And then I got to thinking that who would know that years later that he would be in places and positions and auctions where he'd be either buying vehicles or buying houses or something. You never know what you can expose your kids to now in the good and in the negative that will have profound influences on their life. Can I hear one amen here? And so, you know, in relationships, you were designed not to be alone, but to walk together. And sometimes I know it's hard. People, they struggle in relationships, but God has designed us to have relationships in our lives, not to walk alone. In Ecclesiastes, in the New International Version, chapter 4, verse 8, it said, there was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. All alone. Because when you are alone, it doesn't matter what you have, you're not content with it. You are born. You've been released into the world to have friendships and relationships in your life. And we need them in our lives. Sometimes people reject that. They get afraid. They've been through things that have a hindrance in their future with other relationships. Some of those reasons is just our temperament, how we're made up. Some people just say, well, it's not me. I'm shy. Or I've been disappointed. Others, it's been because of fear. I'm afraid. I don't want to be around other people. In fact, some people say, I don't want to be around Christians. They're weird. And some, you know, some are weird. Some non-Christians are weird too. Amen? Come on, I'm not going to eat that bullet all alone. People in general sometimes can be a little different, but it's okay. We still need them in our lives. C.S. Lewis said this, friendship is born at the moment when one person says to another, what? You too? I thought I was the only one. And in the middle of that, friendship is released. Another reason why people don't get into relationships, again, is what I said earlier, is past experiences. What you experienced in your past that hurt you, afflicted you. And some people build these walls up around them and say, I'm not going to let anyone else in my life. Some people are single yet today because of a hurt, a brokenness in a relationship that they had earlier in their life. And I want to tell you today, no matter where that fits in your life, young, old, male, female, that you need people in your life. And when that hurt happened, the enemy just wasn't trying to hurt you, but he was trying to stop the future that you had building a relationship with someone that's healthy for you. And these are so important. Let God heal that in your life. Sometimes we're too busy for it. I don't have any time. No time for you. No womb for you. I don't have no womb for you in the end. You had to remember Andy's thing. Anyways, sometimes we schedule our lives that are so busy that we don't have any margin for relationships or friendships or time to build them in our lives. Look at this scripture, one other verse of scripture in 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11. It'll be up on the screen, but you might want to write it in your Bible too and look at it. Here's what he says, New International Version. Again, the end of all things is near. This wasn't when this was written. This is so real right now in the time that we live in. The end of things is near. Jesus is coming again. I said that song a few weeks ago. It may be morning, may be noon, may be evening, but he's coming soon. Jesus is coming again. The time of all things, the end is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and have self-control so that you can pray. And here's the word, above all. And anytime you see above all, look, above all, love each other deeply. This is so encouraging to me that when he says the end is near, keep your mind under control so you can pray. And right with that, he says, above all, love each other deeply, not superficially, deeply. Care about one another deeply. Why? Because love covers over a multitude of sins. And this isn't just any fondness or being kind to someone. This is a deep love that when you love somebody, even when they're in a mess, the love that God uses through you, you can change and cover the sin that has happened in their lives. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength that God provides, so that in all things. God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be glory and power and ever, amen. So we have to make some decisions today about relationships that will impact our lives. And I wanted to share four thoughts quickly with you. And I know one of these are going to pertain to you. And for some, maybe two. And maybe for some of you, it's all four. But listen to this. Number one, the important relationships, we need to learn that we must nurture them. Because they do not stay the same. I am a husband. I am a dad. I am a grandpa. I am a pastor. I am a man. And in all these relationships, you know, with my sons, one of the times that I think we blessed them the most as they were growing up is when we bought them brand new bicycles and we put them next to the Christmas tree. I can remember it like it was yesterday. Them getting up, rubbing their eyes and looking out there and seeing those bikes. I mean, there was snow on the ground. They were riding these bikes right in the living room of the house, 3 or 4 feet. It was the most incredible thing that had ever happened to them. But if I gave them bicycles now for Christmas, they would look at me like I was out of my mind. Because the relationship changes in time. That's why you can't look at things the way they started out. You can't look at your spouse. You can't treat your wife or your husband the same way you did when you first started. In fact, you should be treating him or her better. If I treated my wife now the way I did when we first met, how many of you know I'd be in trouble? If I took her on the same kind of date that I did then as I do now, I'd be in trouble. Because it changes our relationships. They change. And we have to nurture them. And we have to pour into them in a way that is relevant to the moment that we're living in. Are you listening to me today? This is so important. Good friendships, good relationships, they will cost you time. They will cost you money. But they are worth every moment of it. Every bit of it. Colossians 2:19 says, the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. You are a growing individual, and that is also and must be in the relationships that God has entrusted with you. And don't wait until it's too late to say, oh, I better start working on this. I wish I had a nickel for every couple that ever came to me and said, hey, we're in trouble and we need it fixed now. How many of you know what somebody has messed up over years cannot be fixed in a moment? It's important for you and I to nurture them and to pour love and life into them. Whether it's your family, whether it's special friendships that God has given you throughout your life, invest in them. Invest in the time and value them. Put a high value on them. Don't just take them for granted. Put some high energy and high value into that. And sometimes I found out, sometimes it takes a lot, but other times it just takes just a little to let someone know, hey, I really love you. I care for you. You are important to me. Nurture the important relationships. Number two, sometimes we need to look at restoring some relationships that have been broken. Not all, but some. And as I say that, I'm very confident that some that are here today saying, no way, I'm not going down that road again. I'm not going to try that again. I've been hurt. And some people, they build walls up around them so high that they're not going to let anybody in. But the trouble with that is that you can't look out either. Build those. Some God wants to heal. God wants to restore. And the pain of unresolved conflict is greater than the pain of resolving it. In families, internally, in broken relationships. Listen to the scripture in Romans 12:17-18. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Hear that this morning. If somebody does you wrong, and I see this all the time, people say, they'll get theirs. Karma's going to get them. Karma. There's no karma here. Whatsoever a man sows, he reaps. But the Bible says that the love that I show to others covers a multitude of sin. Does that mean that even if somebody does me wrong, if I love them, God can change the situation? Yes, it can. Come on, amen me today. I'm talking the truth. And he says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with everyone. Now, the reality of that is that sometimes you can't be at peace with others. But when it depends on you, you are to do whatever you can do to be at peace with people. And I'm a big enough boy to know that's just not going to work everywhere. But you don't have to walk in a store and see someone and make an exit out. You can keep your head up. You can walk into that public place. You don't have to let something that happened in your past hinder you in your present or in your future. Come on now. This is truth. This is right. And I wanted to read this entire, and I copied it out of the New Living, and it's not going to be up on the screen. But listen to this as I read this. Never pay back evil with more evil. That's a good word to you today. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can do to live in peace with everyone. I know that's not always possible. Dear friends, verse 19, never take revenge. I'm reading this in the New Living. Leave that to the righteous anger of God, for the Scripture says, I'll take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. And how many of you know that God is just not good at getting people back that you want them to? You know what I'm saying? They'll get theirs. God, get them. And God's just sitting there and saying, yeah, okay, sure. Just like I gave you what you deserved. Hello. Because if my mom used to tell me when I was a kid, she said, don't look at somebody else's back door until you know yours is clean. Verse 20, instead, he says, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. And you don't do it to give the shame. It's just an automatic thing that happens when you bless those that have tried to hurt you. That conviction just overtakes and overwhelms them. Verse 21, here it is. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil, what? By doing good. This is so good. This is so good. I want to encourage you today to learn to forgive people. Make that a priority in your life. I read this story about a couple that was married 50 years. And when the wife was asked, how did you do that? She replied, when we got married, I made a list of 10 of his greatest faults, and I overlooked every one of them. When asked what was on the list, she replied, well, you know, I never made that list. But whenever he made a blunder, I said, that's one of them. Y'all are quiet today on that. My wife's got a huge list. Wouldn't it be great if people offended you that you just said, you know what? That's one that I made a decision I'm going to forgive. And make it your plan today to forgive, because you can't move forward in life. You can't see a better tomorrow when you're carrying unforgiveness in your life. Oh, I know it's tight, but it's right. Number three, this is important. Sever harmful relationships. Some of you are in a bad relationship today. Some of you have allowed people and influences in your life that you know are a hindrance for you. When I got saved, when I first gave my life to Christ, you know my story. I've told it before. When my dad was an alcoholic, he was gone by the time I was 13. When I was 15, after I said I'd never drink alcohol, I was full headlong drinking alcoholic, and my friends that I were hanging around with were the same way. Right up until, and then when I got saved, I didn't change overnight, but the Spirit of God would keep on working in me and working in me. And every time that I'd get with those friends, I could feel and tell that something was different inside of me. And it went on for a few months. And all of a sudden, one day, God laid his finger on and said, you got to get new friends. And it wasn't that they were bad, but the two of us didn't help one another either. And I don't put that blame on them. I put it on me. I had to cut that relationship off with them, because it wasn't healthy for my life at all. And I was shocked. I think it was 3 years ago, on a Thanksgiving morning, we were in the back here praying, and that one man, that friend that was in my life, and I'm telling you, we were no good together. We were no good for one another. Bad. I mean, bad, bad. About 3 years ago, and I haven't seen him. I hadn't seen him in over 30 years. Walks in with a bag of food to give, and our eyes locked, and he says, "Marty?" I said, "Hey, how you doing?" He didn't even know I was here doing what I'm doing. And I thought that was so cool, because as I looked at that, I was a total different person back then, but I had to sever those relationships. And maybe it's you. Maybe it's somebody that you're getting too close to at work, or somebody that you've been reaching out to or created something on a social media site. Or maybe you're just involved in somebody. Maybe you're living with someone, you're not married, and you've been feeling that pressure on you. And let me tell you something. If you're living with somebody, you're welcome to come to church. But I just want to tell you that when you marry a person before you begin to live with them and engage in sexual practices, that your life will be blessed to a level that you never thought of. Come on, don't all shout me down right now. I'm talking the truth here. I know in our culture it says, oh, don't get married, just live together, it's better. But the Bible never indicates that. And for some of you, it's a turn that you need to make in your life. And you need to cut that thing off. You need to do something different. And you need to let the healthy relationships come into your life and help you to go out of that. Proverbs 27:19 says, a mirror reflects a man's face, but what he is really like is shown by the kind of friends he chooses. Show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. Now, this is God's word, and this is important in our lives. Come on, my brothers and sisters. If whether he's GQ himself or she looks like one of the models on one of the magazines, if you're a Christian and they are not, don't get connected. Because the Bible says you will pay the price for it the rest of your life. Hello? You shout me down if you want to hear. I'm telling you what the Bible says. It says, what fellowship can light have with darkness? And the answer is none. It can't have any. And you must know that in your life, you got to sever some relationships if you're going to go on. And does that mean I don't have any non-Christian friends? Absolutely not. I have many, but I don't let their influence me. I influence them. Number four, my final point, we have to initiate some meaningful relationships. You've got to allow some people to come into your life. Hebrews 10:25, let us not give up meeting together as the manner as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day. Here's another reflection on that scripture that I read in Peter, the end of the year. He says right here, the day approaching. The closer we get to the end, the more important it is for you to have great people in your life. So where do I do this? How do I build them? I have a relationship with the church. I don't just attend. I have a relationship with the church, with the people in the church. I connect. I grow. I get into a Bible study on a Monday night ladies, a Tuesday morning men's Bible study, a Wednesday men's Bible study, a Thursday Bible study, a Friday night prayer meeting, a Saturday men's breakfast, get into something. Connect with people so you can grow. You have to also develop a relationship with the team, serving in some capacity. Adopt a block, an usher. I'm praying for 10 more ushers. That's, for some of you, that's you. Food pantry, whatever it is, connect. And when you do that, man, I learned that when we were making this building right, some of the people that I never had met before become some of our close friends when we work together. And then is building our relationship with God. Not a religion, a relationship with Him, personal. I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes all over here. I want to pray for you where you are today, because I know this is a sensitive situation to some. Some of you, you struggle in this area. But this is so important that if you're going to turn your life around and see just a magnanimous change, you can make that decision today, and it can change your future incredibly. I want to pray for some of you this morning. I want to believe God with you that God will help you in your life. He'll help you build those friendships and relationships in your life that you really need. He'll help you and give you the courage to sever those ones that you know they're hurting you. He'll help you and give you the strength to restore and heal some that have been broken and torn apart. He'll also give you the power and the anointing and the strength to nurture those that are very important. Sometimes we just take that for granted, day in and day out. I want to encourage you today not to take it for granted, not one moment. I want those who can help me pray, come on down to the altar. I'm going to close in prayer. And if you need help with any of those today, these people are here to pray with you and to help you. Some of you are afraid to come to the altar and ask for prayer. You need to get over that. Because that step of faith is the beginning. That initiates that beautiful change that can occur in your life. Some of you have never given your heart to Jesus. And today, you must do that. You need to give your life to Christ. Because He'll change you. And this could be the day that changes your life. And oh my goodness, I love to see people come to know Christ. Because He changes everything in one moment. If I'm talking to you today, I'm going to pray. I'm going to close in prayer. Before you leave, if you need help in relationship, maybe your marriage, maybe I'm talking to a husband or a wife, it's not where it should be. Maybe there's some brokenness. Maybe there's some unforgiveness in you. Maybe you've gotten hurt in the past. You just need to agree with somebody on that today. These folks down here are going to pray for you and believe God with you. Maybe for some, today is the day where you're going to break free from someone hurting you. And let God heal you. For others, today, you're going to make Jesus the Lord and the Master of your life. Father, I thank You for life and hope and love. I thank You for my brothers and sisters here today. What a beautiful family of believers that are in this house today. I ask You, Lord, that You will minister Your love and Your grace and give those who need to work in any one of these areas the strength to begin to move in that direction this day, I pray. Because, Lord, I know that when we make those decisions, You begin to change everything. I give You praise, all the honor and the glory for that now. In Jesus' name I pray. Come on. Everybody said amen. Come on, do you love Jesus today? Give Him a good praise in His house. Come on. Come on down. If you need prayer before you go, these folks are the best. They love you. I love you. God loves you. Go in His grace, His peace today.